Welcome to the New Mexico Financial Institutions Division broadcast on financial education topics with leaders, advocates, and practitioners in our beautiful state of New Mexico. Our focus is on financial capability strategies at the state, tribal, community, and programmatic levels. This is your host, Vicki Oldman. Our first guest is Christopher Moya. Christopher Moya is the director with the New Mexico State Financial Institutions Division. He's been with state a little over 9 years in different capacity. He's been a mortgage examiner. He's also been with the Consumer Financial Services and now with this particular division, which is the Financial Institution Division. Christopher also has roots here in New Mexico. He has family who've been a part of the agriculture and ranching. And through that sort of line of work, really has understood the importance of small businesses and how that drives the economy, as well as the importance of relationships and partnerships with financial institutions and how they go hand in hand. All of that connects to the work he's doing now that he's very passionate about. And we wanted to spend some time with Christopher and have him tell us a little bit about this particular division and sort of the mission and why it's important for consumers to know about this division. And also the other part of this conversation is to learn what this division is doing and how they're working with Native and tribal communities here in the state of New Mexico. So Christopher, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. The introduction. So, and I know Financial Institutions Division, it's a pretty long title there, but it's a definitely important important division that serves the state of New Mexico, not only our financial institutions, but our consumers here in the state of New Mexico. So I'm really excited about this opportunity to get interviewed and for this podcast. So, I can really paint the picture of what the Financial Institutions Division does, some of the important practices and services that we provide, and kind of educate the public a little bit about, we are somebody that they can turn to in a time of need if they have questions, if they have concerns, if they have complaints. And I think there's a lot of people don't know about us. You know, we sometimes people joke we operate in shadows, but yes, we are the main regulatory agency for financial institutions here. So it's a nice opportunity to talk about that and kind of shine a light on what we do. So I'm excited for that.
Great. Yes, let's get out of the shadows and have the consumers know. And so let's start there in terms of this division and where does it sit in the state?
So the Financial Institutions Division, we're a division within the Regulation and Licensing Department of the state of New Mexico. And the Financial Institutions Division, I'll shorten it to FID. That's how a lot of people refer to us, as the FID. But what the FID's mission is, we're the primary, our primary mission for the Financial Institutions Division is to really license and regulate financial entities within the jurisdiction of New Mexico to promote a sound financial and economic environment, and also to safeguard consumers. So that's our mission statement. And so here at the Financial Institutions Division, as I stated earlier, we're the primary regulator for financial institutions that operate in the state. And that is a whole host of different types of industries. State chartered banks, state chartered credit unions, state certified independent trust companies, mortgage loan companies, small loan companies, money service businesses such as money transmitters, currency exchangers, check cashers, also escrow companies, motor sales vehicle finance companies, and endowed care cemeteries. So give or take, it's roughly about 15 different financial industries fall under our supervision and licensing here in the state of New Mexico. And entailed in that is about 15,000 different licensees. So we have a pretty broad base of institutions that fall under our supervision. We have about roughly 25, depending on when we're fully staffed, 25 to 30 examiners and staff available to really handle our regulation of these entities. So it's a lot of work and a pretty important role. So it's a lot of people, when I start saying what we have under our purview, it kind of, you see the look of shock on their face. That is a lot of different industries that we touch, but we play an important role. And so, you know, one of the things I like to talk about is the importance of the state financial regulatory system. You know, we have a mandate to protect consumers while at the same time also supporting the economic well-being of a community. So we are the main regulator that touches a lot of these different industries. So
let's talk a little bit about that. Thank you for that overview. 15 industries. That's amazing. That's a lot. And to regulate and license those particular industries. And you had said, you know, part of the mission was also to protect and safeguard, you know, the consumers. So looking at consumer protection in terms of what these entities are doing and how they are offering services, explain that a little bit more about the consumer protection. How are you all doing that?
Okay, so you know, let me kind of start with painting the picture of what we primarily do. And so there's several different components of how we, you know, offer consumer protection. A main part of that is making sure that the entities that are operating in our state are operating in a safe and sound manner. And what I mean by that is that they're operating in the capacity where they're financially sound, and that they're also operating in the capacity of doing business within all the state and federal laws that they have to follow. And so how do we do that? One, our primary function is to license these institutions, and by licensing them, we conduct are called examinations. A lot of people refer to them as audits. They're not really audits, but examinations. And so we have different siloed teams within the financial institutions. We have a bank examination crew. We have a credit union examination crew. We have a mortgage examination crew. And then we have a consumer section examination crew. And within that consumer section examination crew is a team that goes out and examine small loan companies, motor vehicle sales finance companies, and MSB companies, as well as collection agencies. And so I'll talk a little bit about, just for example, the small loan industry. So we have just south of about 600 small loan licensees here in the state of New Mexico. And by statute, we have to examine every one of those companies annually. So we have a staff, our examination staff for the small loan industry. They work around the clock examining these institutions. And by examining them, we go in, we take a look at their policies and procedures. We take loan samplings of loans that have been consummated. We look at those loan contracts. We look at the interest rates that have been charged and fees that have been charged. And then we run all of that through a host of tests to validate that those loans were made within the limits of not only New Mexico state law, but also federal law. When we look at their policies and procedures, we're looking to make sure that they have safeguards in place, that they have quality controls in place to ensure that they're doing business in a sound manner. The other part that kind of plays into the consumer protection piece is that we mitigate complaints. A lot of people don't know that we're an agency that you can reach out to if you have a complaint against the licensee, whether it be a small loan company or a mortgage company, bank, credit union. If you're a consumer that you feel that you may have been denied a loan illegally, if you feel that some fees have been excessive, if you feel if something just doesn't feel right about the product, you can contact us. You can file a complaint by filling out a complaint form that's located on our website. You can call our industry manager, our consumer industry manager, talk to that individual. He'll assign it to an examiner to kind of look into that complaint. But we do have a mitigation component within the financial institutions division to look into a complaint, see if, what documentation you can provide, see if that is a valid complaint. A lot of times we'll get a complaint and we'll look at the documentation. We'll evaluate the complaint. And a lot of times it's education too, that we provide to a consumer, explaining to them, you know, is this a valid complaint? Yes. Why or why not? If it is a valid complaint, then we go ahead and move to a mitigation piece for that complaint, where we'll contact the licensee. We'll ask for a response. We'll ask for supporting documentation, and we'll try to get, a solution to whatever that complaint may be, and resolve any harm that may have happened to the consumer. Now, if there's egregious violations, then we move into an investigation component of that, where we'll go in and investigate a licensee. We may broaden what we call in the examination world our scope, meaning that we'll start, if this looks like an egregious violation to one consumer, we'll expand that scope and start looking at other loans to make sure that if this violation was just a one-time incident or if it was systemic. And we'll make our determination based on whatever our investigation is, which could result in regulatory action up to suspension of the license or revocation of the license, or even a referral to the authority, legal law, the Attorney General's office, for example, if we feel that there's been a criminal violation. And then the second component of that is, or the third component of that is education. And like I stated earlier, when we review a complaint or we take a phone call from a consumer, we usually have a conversation with them. Sometimes it is an education component where we explain, you know, what the law states, if something was within the purview of the law, and kind of give them that. A lot of times it gives people a ease of mind to know that, you know, talk to somebody else. To make sure that everything was in line with what they received in the form of a financial product. And then sometimes we find out that maybe there is a violation there, and we'll look a little further. But also with what we're doing now today is really starting a whole financial literacy education piece, where we hope that we can start to develop some financial literacy tools that we can put out there that the public can access, that they can turn to, and kind of help them along their path to, you know, a better credit profile and also some financial soundness. So that's a big piece of what we do. And a majority of that is really all an extension of our primary focus, which is examinations of these companies. So
thank you. A couple of things I want to go back, and I do want to transition to the education piece, but I just wanted to highlight, but also have you explain or give a brief description of the small loan industry. Like, who are they? What is their portfolio loan amount? And give a brief description of them is one.
Definitely. So I can do that. So one of our licensed industries here in New Mexico is a small loan industry. And currently we have just south of 600 small loan licensees here in the state of New Mexico. And those licensees, by having that license, they're allowed to do small consumer loans to individuals for any amount from $0 to $5,000. And under that licensing act, there are some guidelines that they have to follow. One, the loan has to be anywhere between that $0 and $5,000 threshold. Also, the loan has to be amortized as an installment loan with four equal payments. So usually about 120 days minimum is the installment period. Also, the APR, the annual percentage rate on that loan, needs to be less than 175%. So it's kind of the max out for the interest, or the, not the interest, but the APR on that loan. So, you know, your consumer type loans that you see out there, your title lenders, small dollar lenders, they all fall within that small loan licensee. We used to have payday lenders in the state, but with some recent change to legislation, payday lending or payday loans are no longer allowed here in the state of New Mexico. When I say payday loans, I'm referring to those 2-week loans that individuals or consumers would go and get with the promise to pay within 2 weeks or the next pay period. So those loans are no longer allowed here in New Mexico. All small consumer dollar loans have to be set up as installment loans with 4 equal payments. And usually they're about, the minimum would be 120 days, and they could go up to an installment period of 24 months, just really depending on how they set that loan up. But that's what a small dollar loan or a small loan is, and that's what a small loan company is here in New Mexico.
Oh, thank you. That was very, very helpful. How many complaints do you all get? I would not be surprised if a lot of consumers don't know who to call if they had, you know, if they felt uncomfortable with a particular in one of the industries out of the 15 that you named and it didn't work out well, regardless if it was a small loan industry or, you know, a credit union, whomever. Curious to know about the level of complaints that you all receive.
You know, the level of complaints, it's kind of shocking at times. We don't get a lot of complaints. A lot of times, like I stated, it's we'll get phone calls and we'll walk through whatever the concerns of the consumer are. And, you know, we'll make that determination that this isn't a legitimate complaint because, you know, A, B, or C didn't happen. But when we do get complaints, I would say on average, we probably manage anywhere between 50 and 100 complaints total within the division annually for all these industries. And you're right. And that's always been a concern of mine. Do people know who to contact when they have a complaint to file or if they have questions about the licensing? So I think that's one of the things I'm excited about this podcast now. Is really to get that information out there. For example, in the small loan industry, we do have some rules in place and where some documentation or brochures are handed out anytime a loan's applied for. And on that, there should be our contact information for the financial institutions division on where to file a complaint. So again, if a consumer has concerns about anything, they can contact our office and we'd be happy to talk with them about any issues they may have and see if it arises to a formal complaint that needs to be filed. But yeah, it's definitely, this is advertising, I guess, for, if you will, to let you know that we're here and we're willing to help kind of to put our name out there so you know who we are.
Yes, get out of the shadows. And well, the other thing, so thank you for that because it really is helpful. And this actually really is building on sort of the education part of it, you know, and having people hear and listen. And because when I think about individuals going into whatever financial institution, you know, whatever industry, you know, you are, and I remember the first time I was getting my own home. And I sat down and, you know, I've gone to school and you know, feel like I'm pretty competent. And when I read the number of documents and the language that's used in these documents, I was like, what does this mean? I don't know. And I was scared, you know, and didn't really have anybody I knew personally that had gone through this. So I was like signing by faith. And I feel like a lot of our consumers, when, you know, they're in situations where they need access to capital, whether it's, you know, for personal reasons or for a business or for a home. And going through that process is a little overwhelming. And so I know one of your vision in this division is the education component. And correct. So tell us a little bit about how you all are envisioning doing this in the native and tribal communities. What have you guys done before? What are you guys doing now?
Definitely. So I can speak to kind of where we're at right now. And so we've partnered with you. One of our visions right now with the Native communities is to develop and roll out some financial literacy platforms where we can provide education, not only in, you know, day-to-day financial transactions, whether it be managing checkbooks setting budgets, you know, maybe add some mortgage education in there when applying for a home, some education about what it means to have a credit profile, building that credit profile. And as you build that credit profile, it begins to open up the ability for a consumer to have access to different credit terms and a broader range of credit availability. Some of the things that we've talked about and that we're discussing, and it's actually development, is a workbook that a consumer can take with them, go through the education process, complete that workbook, and then continue using that workbook on into the future as a reference guide for any of their financial needs that they need on a basic level. And so we're looking at finishing developing that. It's in process right now, and we're getting really close to getting that done. But also starting to develop different types of education for just generational type levels. So, you know, the high school age students, you know, the mid-range 20 to 40 age demographic, and then the older demographic. So, you know, looking to really fine-tune and tailor the education to the different generational groups, and really hone in on giving access and giving tools to these consumers so they can make informed decisions, so they can know what contracts look like, so they can understand what the terminology is on a contract. So if you're going in to, say, apply for a small loan, you know, we want to have a resource for a consumer to look back and say, okay, this is the APR, this is the finance charge, this is my loan, this is what I'm expected to pay back in this amount of time, and this is how it affects my ability to repay and what my budget is. And so, you know, giving them the education and giving them the tools they need to make an informed decision is kind of our focus here, and it's something that we're working towards. And we're going to be using technology the best we can, to have some web-based stuff, also to have where we understand there's parts of the state that don't have internet access. So, you know, we'll have the handouts and things that any individual can take with them and use that tool going forward.
Thank you for that. A couple of things I want to point out, and I know that we're going to be coming to time. I know just to kind of expand on the products that you all are creating for Native communities here in New Mexico is moving that workbook to an online platform so folks can access that through their phone or their computer, you know. So having different modalities, whether it's a handbook or the virtual platform, given the COVID situation. Actually, that's what I think what had happened is the COVID situation happened. And so thinking differently about modifying the products. And the other thing that I know that you all are creating is a financial journal for consumers. Mm-hmm. So once they complete the online, you know, they have a journal that will keep them, as you were saying, moving forward, staying inspired with their goals and reaching, you know, the whatever that may be to save for a business or save for a home or, you know, working towards being debt free. And of course, this last platform, which we are teeing up, and that is the podcast, so people can listen and still learn and connect, mm-hmm. which I really wanted to connect about relationships. I know in the past you all, you know, have had interest in really expanding and doing your work and strengthening your work in Native and tribal communities here in New Mexico. And you all would have workshops. You would do workshops in the community, building relationships. And I know that's one thing that I've been doing a little research on you that's important to you is about the importance of relationships. Talking about relationships as we go forward, and how do you envision, I know we're in a COVID situation, but as we come out, how has your division been thinking about how do we build relationships and strengthen our relationships to practitioners on the ground in our Native communities, in communities in general, so they know that, you know, you're putting light on your division and how to strengthen that, and people know when to go to you, you know, this division in particular, and also to hear their needs. If a particular topic that's related to this, you know, who do they go to, sort of thing. So I guess the emphasis here is about the relationship building component and the importance of it. Any response?
Definitely. And so that's a good point to make. And you know, New Mexico, we are different than all of the 50 states. We're majority rural state outside of the metropolitan area in Albuquerque and Las Cruces and Santa Fe. So we do still have that rural mentality. You know, that it's relationship based driven. It's seeing a face with a name and shaking a hand. And so, you know, when we initially started this journey, you know, we had this vision of hosting all these different, you know, financial literacy type programs in communities and spreading that throughout the state, not just in the native communities, but all the communities around the state to really start to spread that education. And I believe it's a two-way street. It's not just us educating the community, but the community also giving us feedback as well. You know, what areas of concern they have, where can we improve? What suggestions can we take back with us that helps us do our jobs better and you know, not only help, you know, boost up the local economies, but also as regulators help us get a different understanding of what that community's needs are and whatever tools that community needs. So we did have that vision. Now in the COVID-19 world, it's kind of put all the brakes on that for now. But we're going to move forward with still developing that platform. We've just had to transition into more of the mobile virtual platform, which I think is not such a bad thing. I think that's going to give us the foundational pieces we need where we can turn on that element of the financial literacy once we have the ability to start traveling and going out and meeting with groups of folks and relaying that financial education. You know, some people learn better face-to-face and sitting in a classroom environment, and others learn better sitting on a mobile device or in front of a computer. So we know it's not a one-size-fits-all type approach, but a one-size-fits-one, really. You know, we got it. We'll tailor this. We plan on tailoring our product to fit all different groups. And, you know, with feedback from participants, we hope we can only improve it and make it that much better. And we don't see this as a blip on the radar, do this, you know, once or twice a year, but an ongoing process that can continue to grow on into the future. So we're pretty excited about it.
Wonderful. Thank you. I really appreciate the message about the two-way in terms of this relationship building. And partly I think also that practitioners, consumers, you know, folks that are taking advantage of what you are offering in terms of products and services, knowing, you know, where to go. So that, you know, navigating sometimes can be tricky. And so I know that you've mentioned the website before. We'll definitely put that with this particular link so folks know where to go and who to contact. And also just appreciate you kind of noting that this is not a one-size-fits all sort of approach, and you all are really thinking about how do we tailor, how do we customize, how do we get the right, you know, sort of community navigator to help, you know, connect and build relationships and build the right sort of products for the consumers that you all serve. So any final thoughts or comments that you want to offer before we wrap up?
You know, I just want to thank you for helping us with this program and getting this platform put together. I really want to encourage anybody out there that's listening to this to reach out to our website. We'll provide a link with it. Take a stroll through our website, see if there's anything that catches your eye. If you have any questions, you can always contact us. Our contact information is on our website. And also, if you just ever have any questions about you know, any of your financial dealings, and you just need a second set of ears, you know, we're here to help. We're here to educate. We're here to look at what we need to look at to kind of protect the consumer. You know, so it's important that we as regulators have an open ear to the consumer, and it helps us do our jobs, like I said, better. And it also gives you an opportunity to have somebody you can rely on if you feel like you've been harmed in any way. So we're here, and we want everybody to know that and understand it and give us a call or send us an email, and we'd be happy to have a conversation with you. But once again, thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for helping put this together.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. You'll be hearing from us again in the near future. I will have another guest joining us, and appreciate you all listening. Have a wonderful afternoon. For more information or questions about today's topic, contact the New Mexico Financial Institutions Division at 505-476-4885. Our next guest will be with the New Mexico Cabinet Secretary of Indian Affairs, Lynn Trujillo. This is your host, Vicki Oldman. Ahyahat. Thank you for joining us.